You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. John chapter 15. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have reached the upper room where just within a matter of hours, he will be going out to his trial, crucifixion. Now, so perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. So deal with us according to your grace and mercy, and that we would have the benefits of your presence on your day for your glory and for your honor. God, thank you. Father, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the upper room, remember chapter 15, as we have done and exercised. And the Lord Jesus Christ is encouraging, motivating his 11 disciples that are going to become the many believers by way of them. And in the process, they are to be encouraged and motivated so that they are not under their right now, remember, all they see is the loss of our Lord, his presence among them, his death, their imprisonment or their death, their whole life, their whole world has come to an end. So that's how they see it. Understandably. And God is trying to help them understand that the absolute necessity of all that is taking place in his going to the cross and rising again to fulfill the awesome plan of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost out of eternity, to make that all happen to his honor and glory by way of Calvary's cross, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Now, so therefore, with all of the wonderful things he's saying, they can't put them together yet, but they're going to. So we're reading it on this side of the cross. And we're reading it, and we're able to go and look at it in a way that they weren't able to do right at that point. And so as we came in chapter 15, if we came to verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And if the world, and it does, remember it's first class, if, since it's true, it's going to be true, if you were, verse 18, if the world hates you, and it does, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the hatred that you're going to face is going to be because of me. And they're hating me, and you know that. Sliding along, if I can, verse 19. If you were of the world, and you're not, second class, if you were of the world, you're not, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world. You're not of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. I have chosen you out of the world. And the world hates you. It hates you. Now, so in the process of hating, and in the process of that, God, he's chosen them. And he's made them. He has made them to abide, made them to be able, to be not only to abide, but to have the ability to be able to go, John 14, 12, 13, 14, to duplicate and not duplicate, to outwork the wonderful life, resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to happen. And that's the real issue now. So the real issue is they don't understand all that, and all that the Lord Jesus Christ is and has in his being and his perfect humanity. They don't understand that. They can only enjoy his presence. And God is making it possible for his presence to be found in them so that they, not only they enjoy his presence, not in his absence being seated at the right hand of God, they enjoy his presence being seated in their heart. It's an awesome thing God is going to do. It's way beyond their comprehension at this point. It's just too awesome. It's like when you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and you don't, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and one day you're convicted, convinced that you need life. And the only one that can provide that life is the Lord God in Christ Jesus. And you receive him as your Savior. And if you truly receive him, your sins are forgiven, etc., etc. And an awesome thing happens, and light comes on in your little heart. Wow. That's an awesome thing, God. An awesome thing. But that needs to happen for us so that what? We understand that God has taken us from darkness into the light. Now, so over to John chapter 7. For a moment, we were there. But join back. Our Lord has said, as they hated, they hate you as they hated me. So now we're trying to put that together. And during the Lord's 3 1/3 years of ministry, he came, and one of the occasions recorded by John is in chapter 7. It was the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, and they're all going to that, etc. Now, verse 6. Jesus said unto them, this is to his half-brothers and half-sisters, but his family, they had an earthly father, Joseph. And Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, the brethren. But me it hateth. Why? Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Now, back up to verse 3, neither did his brethren, here's his four brothers, half-brothers, sisters, they're unsaved. His whole family's unsaved. And they don't know the Lord as a Savior. And they see him as elsewhere, you know, they just don't understand they don't understand him. And he said, they hate you. Why? Because you're under the law in the world. You're part of the world system at this point. And that's what they were. The Lord Jesus is not part of the world system. The world system, underline, hates. The world system hates God, hates light. It's the light is the problem. It hates light. Darkness hates light. Darkness is dispelled by light instantly. So darkness says no hope of survival in the light. None whatsoever. It can't survive. So it hates it, as you know from John chapter 1, etc. Now, so having said that, in John chapter 7, he is on the unsaved world, the unbelieving world, and God is going to go to the unsaved and unbelieving world. He's going to go and show them, as we've said 1,000 times, he's going to show them a sign. Now, they don't believe. They hate him. They crucified him. We have no king but Caesar. His blood be upon us and our children. We have no king. So they hate him. They hate him. Now, and they're going to crucify him. And going to be buried in the tomb, Nicodemus, etc. And in the process, he's going to rise again. Now, but he's demonstrating at this point in history his wonderful grace. John 1:14, you'll have to turn there. The Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. He's bringing God's grace to humanity. God is going to show his invisible, matchless, awesome, infinite person in the person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, right now standing in the room in front of these 11 men. And he's showing that. He's awesomely God. They don't understand it, but they're going to go and bear witness of it. They're his witnesses to come. So therefore, remember, over a few words, it's an evil world that crucified him. We live in an age of deepening darkness. We live in an age of deepening unbelief. Unbelief to the point. Unbelief crucified him. Keep going down with unbelief. They're going to choose the beast, the Antichrist, to be the substitute of the Christ. Israel is. The world is. Unbelief, darkening, darkening, and dark. That's where it's going. Now, so having said that, and just to remind you, over to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 12. And then the reminders say, well, I know that, I know that. That's wonderful. If we keep going, you're going to know a lot. That's all I can tell you. If you keep saying, I know that, I know that, I know that, and we keep doing it, boy, it's going to keep growing. Wow. Matthew chapter, 12. Matthew chapter 12. Picking up, please, in 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. This is before his crucifixion. And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Therefore, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He's going to rise again. That's what he's going to do. And I'm going to show you a sign. I'm not just going to show you like the Antichrist coming up in Revelation 13, which we're doing, 6 o'clock. Not like that, no. I'm going to show you who I am. I am God in the flesh to die on the cross. I've come to die on the cross to pay the price of your sin, to be able to go and save you to the uttermost, if you would believe me. Now, all you're going to do is believe. But I'm not going to walk around after my resurrection. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to show you an empty tomb. And then I'm going to have a whole bunch of whosoevers that believe. And they're going to walk around. And they're going to show my life in them. That's what they're going to show. You want a sign? I'm going to give you a sign. That's what I'm going to do, like no other. And I'm going to do it because I'm demonstrating grace. Grace. I don't want robots. I don't want to just say you have no choice. I want you to understand. You're able to go and look at a whosoever that believes and decide whether you want to believe and join and be caught up in the same wonderful body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so God's going to do that. Now, having said that, and you know that's also in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, etc. Now, having said that a little bit, so darkness hating light, why does it hate light? It has no good hope. It has no hope. Why? Because what people that live in the light see. They see. They see for real. And when they see for real, they're seeing it. It makes for hope, excitement, looking. Because you see things as they are, as they will be. But if I put darkness out and keep darkness, how much do you see? How much can you see ahead for sure? We dream and we have all of this and we know all of these different things and we're all trying to work our system as society is, but we can't see. Where's our hope? We don't have a good hope. What's the problem? Well, the people that are in the light are a pain in the neck because they walk in the light and they tell us about a wonderful, awesome future. And we can't see that future. And we don't understand that future. And only a saved person can go forward in the light because of the life that God gives. Apart from God's uncreated life that he gives you, how could you go forward? You can't. It's a state of death. Death, you're dead in sins, dead in sins, dead in sins. You drop in the ground, we bury you. You're dead in sins. And what's then? The second death. That's no hope. So here's the world. System is evil and doesn't want. God's going to show them in unbelief. The only sign he's going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, and in John, well, you're not far away, John chapter 15. And God has done something, and they just haven't caught on yet, but they will. They will, the 11 disciples and thereafter, and the rest of us. John chapter 15, pick up. Now, here we are looking, and God is telling them that the world is going to hate them because it hated me. And he's going to hate them because he's chosen them out of the world. Therefore, the end of verse 19, therefore the world hates them. They hate you. Now, why do they hate you? Well, because you're going to have such an identification with the Lord Jesus Christ that it's going to be awesomely difficult to hand you. So therefore, the believer that really catches on to what God has done for them, forgiven them, given them life, what else would they know? They would know, John 14, except you don't have to look at them all. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I give you my peace. I give you my joy. I give you my power. I give you my love. You are my friends. Remember, John 15. You are my friends. My friends. Wow, my friends. You're my slave. Remember, we did that just ahead of where we are. You're my slave. You're my branch. And I'm the vine. You're all of that to me. And more. You're all of that to me. Now, if you were unsaved, and you know not the Lord is your Savior back then or now, what would you know? Are you able that here's a person that has his peace, his joy, his love, his friendship, his slaves, their branches, they have a connection? Boy, they have some kind of personal salvation so directed, so connected to God that it's my. Think of Psalm 23. The Lord is what? My shepherd, I shall not want. My salvation. That's an awesome relationship to God. Now, if you don't push that, because we don't understand that, but if you just sort of slide along and don't ever try to capitalize, not capitalize, to exercise and enjoy being saved, which is what this is. God has saved me, saved us, in a most awesome, wonderful way. To be able to have such a relationship to him that the little pronoun my is most right, most valuable, most precious to us. We sing the hymn. That's why the hymn, my country, 'tis of thee. That's why that hymn, the background of the hymn, my. What makes it so important? It's my country, 'tis of thee. My shepherd, my Lord. Wow. So here we are looking, and God's going to go and do his wonderful thing for them. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians. And we read that in chapter 5, but would you note what you read? in John chapter, in Ephesians chapter 5, I should say. And you'll notice, please, in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers, imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, so that, for a sweet-smelling savor, fragrance, so that your life, sin and sorrow and suffering, becomes a sweet fragrance." What's sweet about your life? Christ in you. Your joy, your peace, your love. What? It's Him. Him. He gives us everything we don't have and everything we aren't. And He gives it to us in a most wonderful way. So, sliding down, if I can, down to verse 8. Verse 8. "Be ye therefore," you were sometimes darkness, but remember, dark, we're dead in sin, dark. "But now are ye light as us, now are ye light in the Lord." That's where, only place you can be light. "And therefore you're going to walk as children of light." That's what you're going to do. And as you read down, as you would read, we don't want to go, verse 11, "and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or rebuke them." Sliding down to verse 13. "But with all things that are, all things that reprove, make light." Light reveals everything, colors and everything. That's why we see. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, public, clear, plain, simple. But how? How are they made clear and simple? By the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest, clear, public, plain, has to be light. Darkness won't do it. Darkness won't do it at all. No. No, you have to go to the light. And you know from John, back over again, John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, you recall that, which we, putting the pieces together again. John chapter 3. Just think, if you would, a silly illustration maybe. Think of a puzzle, big puzzle you're making, and you make the puzzle, all the pieces, and put them together. And then necessity means you got to take all the pieces apart and put them in the box. And then you go and make it again. And you have to put it away, have to go to work, school, home, and do the things, and then you make the puzzle again. What's happening? Aren't you getting, brother, sharp about the pieces? So you have to pick up the same piece again. Absolutely. Another John 3:18 again. Aha! But each time I pick it up, I am connecting constantly. And pretty soon, even without the puzzle in front of me, the puzzle is mine in my mind. And I have the pieces without even putting it on the table. Do you see? That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing. We aren't there to just get a little thought or two. That'll never help you. You have to grow. And your Bible is like this wonderful togetherness. That's what it's about. And if all you got is little pieces here and there, yeah, where are you going to go with that? You don't understand the God who gave the whole thing. Now, so therefore, John, that's a long way around to say, read John chapter 3 with me. I'll read it for you if I can. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why in the Book of Life, etc., we share Sunday school and that. God, you die for them. That's right. Verse 19. And why don't they want to get saved? Why don't they want to believe? Verse 18. Verse 19. And the light, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. It's an evil generation. No one wants to see them. No one wants to see it. No one wants to see. And God comes along in his wonderful, convicting way to help us as we grow and know as believers. As believers, we grow. And we're able to say, he's able to help us go all the way like John, like Paul. In me dwelleth what? No good thing. No good thing. And the trouble is, God keeps helping us. Light, the light, the light, the light. And the more the light and the brighter the light, and the keep looking, and exposes, you know. And look at your skin, look at your face, and you get a 500 times magnified. If you can imagine that, your face. What do you think your skin looks like at 500 times? You know. What happened to the nice baby skin? You know, well boy, the brighter the light, the more details. The more details of what God has done has saved us. And the more he saved us, we realize he saved what? Boy, am I a wretch. And God said it, but I'm waking up. Boy, is it true. Isn't it true? Those of you who are saved, you look to God and you stumble around and then you say, I'm going to live for God, and whoops, down it goes. And then you walk around and then pretty soon as you keep growing and learning, you say, boy, God, you are right. If I say in me dwelleth no good thing, I make you a liar and deceive myself, 1 John chapter 1. I know God, so I'm getting it, God. So the light is going to do something. And the evil generation doesn't want more light. And more light, more details. More details. No, we don't want more detail. If you would, chapter 3, and in verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil, hateth the light. No wonder. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved and exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, public, plain, that they are wrought in God, and God saves us and cleanses us and in his grace and mercy and kindness and love. And God does all of that wonderful things for us. And therefore, God, it's an awesome thing that you do to save us in such an awesome way. Over now to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, please, and may I go to verse 4, 2 Corinthians, and in verse 4. And you'll note, 2 Corinthians 4, may I go directly, get a little of the context, verse 3. If our gospel, the good news, be hid, who is it hid from? It is hid to them that are lost. They lost. They can't find their way, can't see their way. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world, the devil himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the whole problem. You're supposed to believe, but you don't want to believe. That's why you're lost. That's why you're lost, because you don't believe. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They don't want it. They don't want light. Now, God, what are you saying? They're going to hate you because they hate me. And I am the light of the world. And when you receive me as your Savior, you'll receive the light. God is light. And we shared last time, remember, we had a little flashlight and everything up here. And I could put my hands over the flashlight when it was lit and try to cover it up. But you know what? I try to cover it all up. It's still on. I can't put the light out. Christ is the light of your life. You can't put him out. You don't make Christ, you don't make God less than who he is. Oops. You don't make God less than who he is. You don't do that. you want to honor God. He's the light of the world. Now, so here's, we just read 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Sliding down to that which you know, verse 6, for God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now remember what you're reading, the end of verse 4. The image of God should shine unto them. They don't want to have light in by way of Christ. Sliding down to verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined where? In our hearts, when we receive him as our Savior. And what's he going to do in our hearts? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How are we going to know the wonderful God is light and him is no darkness? 1 John 1:5. How are we going to do that? In the face of Jesus Christ, who's the light of the world. And therefore we have this treasure, verse 7, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel of clay, that the reason that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And if I were to take a light bulb, which I can't get very easy without looking, take a light bulb, just a regular little light bulb, and put it here, incandescent lamp. I put that right there. Do you know, it's not very exciting. It's just an ordinary light bulb. And all of the light bulbs are happy, they don't pay attention to it. But you know, if I put light, if I make power get into that little light bulb, it isn't the light bulb, it's the light in and by the light bulb, isn't it? Isn't it a piece of glass with a filament and a cathode and all that stuff? No, it's the light. It's the light. Christ is the light of your life. He is your life. The light that shines. So God, the Lord Jesus said, do you understand? You're going to have such a relationship to me that I'm in your heart and life. I am your life. I am your light. And since that's going to happen, because you're saved and you're looking to me and you're going to stay looking to me even on the day of Pentecost, wonderful things are going to happen to you. And you're going to be a light in the world. You're my witnesses. I guarantee you guys that you are going to go and be hated. Now hang on, we need to put that together, because otherwise you're going to say, I don't want to be hated. Now, who wants to be hated? You know. So we don't want to be loved. No, we don't either, because love is always not God. God's love is loves to change us, to be like, to give us the highest and best. Human love never does that. No, it's not about that. No, anyway, now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would, and over to John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, picking up the thought, if I may, in verse 19. If you were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and therefore the world hates you. Therefore, verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, then they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my word, my sayings, they will keep yours also. Now, at that point, remember that's over to John chapter 13, in the beginning of the upper room exercise, chapter 13, and picking up, if I can, verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Back over to chapter 15 and verse 20. I told you just a few little bit ago, and now I'm telling you again in a different context. I'm telling you that you're going to go. You're not above. The servant is not above or out of the Lord's, because the word servant is slave, and wherever the master goes, the slave goes. Wow. In a most wonderful and awesome way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so God, here we are looking, and Cain, you know, going back to catch up here, here's Cain, way back in Genesis, in chapter 4, and Cain kills Abel. Why does Cain kill Abel? Because, and didn't even spend any time to think about it, Cain just went and killed them. Why? Because Abel's offering was accepted to God by God, and Abel understood his parents were saved, Adam and Eve, and he understood how to be saved, and he believed and sacrificed. And Cain, of course, did not. He didn't believe. So what did Cain do? He went and killed them. That's what he did. Just plain old kill them. Just took care of them. I can't have light, said Cain. I love darkness. I don't want light. Abel is a little light in my life. Two brothers, Cain and Abel. Every day I look at Abel. I don't want to look at Abel anymore. I don't want to hear Abel anymore. I don't want to see Abel anymore. Wow. Moving over, Samuel. 1 Samuel, this time, look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And you will remember they offered a king. They wanted a king to be like the others. That's what they wanted. And in the process of wanting that to be like the others, you would recall, sliding quickly in the light of the context, the Lord, they rejected Samuel. Samuel wouldn't do it, didn't want to do it. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. Why? For they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, said God, that I should not reign over them. Now, they're going to hate you because of me. I chose you to be saved before the foundation of the world. I chose you. I died for you. You weren't even created. I did that. They resent that. Darkness doesn't love that. Darkness hates that. So I want you to know, they hate. No, it isn't you they hate. It's your relationship to Jesus Christ they hate. And that's why most believers, you don't know they're believers because they'll never tell you and never say anything. They never read the Bible. They never do anything. And the kids don't know. The family doesn't know. Does anyone know how wonderfully it is to be saved? And who's saying anything? Not much. Not much. Come on. The whole thing would be different out here. And not just you, us, but it'd be different. Because you'd be hearing it, seeing it, and either you're with it or you're not. We don't hear it. We don't enjoy. We enjoy, I can't even think of it. Porsche faces life. This is, I was trying to think. I don't know any, I don't even know what to call them. Soap operas. What do you call them? I don't know what you call them. It doesn't matter. You get caught up in everything and anything. But we aren't enjoying being saved. Wonderfully saved, safely saved. Therefore, God, here we are looking. And now you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. I am. I'm going to go, and I want you to know the disciple, the believer, is not above the master, the Lord, in any way. Now, we started to share at least a little bit. Remember, the Roman Empire was all the way from the Euphrates River, all the way up to Britain, and from Germany all the way down to North Africa. That's the Roman Empire in its magnificence. And its magnificence and its power, et cetera, called Pax Roma, Roman peace. And Roman did that. Rome, the Roman Empire at that time was what? They had the Roman troops would come and protect you. They provide for you everything, your safety, protection, provision. And who wants to disturb that? Who wants to disturb the when everything's going? Okay. And they did that. So when the Christians came along, and the Christians people got saved in the most wonderful way after the cross, they got saved in the process. They had a lot of problems with things. So they went, and the Christians opposed Caesar. Remember now, back we said, I can't give you everything but a little. Remember the Roman Empire? The reason Caesar is Lord is because the people in the Roman Empire wanted him to be Lord. They wanted him to be Caesar. He represented the Roman Empire. And they made him the figurehead for the Roman Empire to look at him. And you don't want to mess with it, because it gives peace and prosperity, protection. We don't want to mess with it. So here come the Christians along. And in the process of that, the Christians oppose Caesar. Caesar is Lord, but he isn't Lord. He isn't Lord. And when did you know that? Well, when you went from darkness to light and you discovered that he isn't Lord. God is Lord in Christ Jesus. And therefore, and remember now, without doing all of this, Nero's favorite actor was Jewish. And Nero's harlot, prophetess, was Jewish. So, that's what you want to know. So, they're Jewish. And Nero favored the Jews. He favored them. But the Christians, not so. Not so. So, they're cannibals. They're cannibals. They eat each other. John chapter 6. No, they aren't. No, they have a love feast, etc. Immorality. No, that's the Lord's table again. They go and they're incendiaries. Incendiary, what are they looking for? They're looking for Peter. Come down, what? And God's going to burn up the whole earth and the heavens. God's going to burn it all up. Just think now, if all this is being fed, think of our media right now in our own country, fed all kinds of stuff that isn't true. But they believe it, and they keep hearing it. Now, not only is incendiaries, they break up families. Think of John 10, I didn't come to send peace but a sword in a family. Wow. Boy, those Christians, and they're going to go and break up families and everything. Boy, not very good. That's why they're persecuted. That's why they were successfully persecuted till 300 or so. Successfully. Now, the people understood. If these awful people, we heard it in our own country and other things, you know. If they do that, if you let that so-and-so group win this and that, they'll starve the children and kill them all. What a stupid thing. But anyway, it isn't a question of that. It's our system we live in. And therefore, here's the Romans. Now, sliding over, if you would, back over to the book of Romans for a minute. And you know, Book of Romans. And remember now, they had a piece of paper they had to sign, all Romans people, the people in the system, Roman Empire, had to sign a piece of paper, and they had a little bit of incense they were given. They burned the incense, signed the paper, and what did they say? Caesar is Lord. And we shared together last time. It doesn't matter. Once you sign the paper and burn the incense and you say, Caesar is Lord, you can go worship whatever way you please. So it didn't stop their worship. It just made them have a unifying Caesar is Lord. Now, having said that, And keeping that in mind, Romans chapter 14, as you know. And that's the issue. What was the issue? Jesus is Lord or Caesar is Lord? Now, in the dark, Caesar is Lord. But in the light, Jesus is Lord. Now, you got a problem. I'm either going to live in the darkness, even though I'm saved, and try to sneak through, or I'm going to be a child of God in the light, and I'm going to have to say, Caesar isn't Lord in the light. Jesus Christ is Lord in the light. He's the light. Now, saying that in an awesome, wonderful way, Romans chapter 14, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 7. For none of this is a great chapter on the Lordship of Christ, which governs our whole life. And chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died, rose, and revived. Why? That he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. God went to the cross and rose again to show forth that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And verse 9, to do what? To be able to go and to this end that Christ died. Now he died. He's Lord, and we share together. He pardoned you. He pardoned your sin, did he not? He didn't go and make believe it didn't exist. You were guilty as could be, but he pardoned you. He pardoned you. Now, and he pardoned you and forgave you. And in the process, he purchased you. He purchased you. He rose again to what? To give you his life. A wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. His wonderful life to be outworked. Wow. Wow. Pardoned and purchased. So that we'll have all those wonderful statements where God says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God pardoned, your Lord. Purchased, your Lord, I am. Revived, So you purchased me, purchased us at the cost of your shed blood, and revived to possess us, to find your home in our heart, to receive you, the light of the world, in our little heart that was so full of darkness and death. And you brought to it life and love and darkness. Darkness became light. Wow. You did all of that, God, to possess you. That's right. I want you to receive me as your Savior in your heart. I died on the cross. I pardoned you. And I purchased you. I paid the full price of my precious blood. And I did all of that to possess you, to find my life in yours. That's what I did. And that's why I am your Lord. I am the Lord, not Caesar. So what did they do? Many died. Animals, fire, persecution, everything. Jesus is Lord. And I remember years ago in California. Anyway, it was a big thing then. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The sign. He is Lord. Yeah, you betcha. You betcha. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So here we are, God. We're trying to figure it out. Oh, hated. No, God, no sweat. God, listen. Listen, I'm not trading you in. I'm not trading you in, Lord, for anyone. I'm not trading you in for my job, my home, my family, my wife, my children, my future. I'm not trading you in for nothing. Does that come out all right? I'm not trading you in. And I'm not backing down. God, you save my little heart. Your little heart. Honor it. Honor it. People may not like it. That doesn't mean you walk around and be a pest to everybody. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean you comfortably are going to be able to what? Look to God and enjoy God as your Savior. And you're going to walk in the light as you go to work, as you go to school, as you do the dishes, as you take your pain pill. You do it in the light. And it comes out wonderful. Pain doesn't go away, but boy, the light shines and makes the whole pain seen in the dark when I look at my pain. Oh, but in the light, it's nothing. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word, thy work, and thank you very much. Thank you for the patience of these dear people, for the snow and those that came out, God. Encourage their heart. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.